Tonight, we have the open mic. I always like the open mic. I really like it a lot because it gives everybody a chance. You know, and real quickly here, everybody is like, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. Everybody has that when they read their poem. Okay? Have enough respect for the other people. Look at them, look at them, look at them also. Okay? And, you know, I could sit up here and tell you all kind of crazy little stories. I'm not going to. But this is a place of honor, all poetry is. And tonight, just read your poem. I don't want you to get into dogma about what the poem's about, because there's 11 poets tonight. So please respect the time and keep the poem. I don't want the opus out here tonight, okay? So let's just have some fun and read your poem and keep it. You know, if it goes more than a couple pages, then we have issues, because it's insulting the last poet. See you, Christopher. Thanks for reading tonight. All right, baby. I moved just one order. I just changed one name here because I just like her so much. Lucille, I put you on the top because I just wanted you. You deserve it tonight for me. Would you read first, please? Come on. Let's hear it.
Women's Clothing Store, 1966. It's my first day on the job. They allow 30 minutes for lunch. I stand at head of cafeteria line, money ready. Somewhere behind me, someone calls out, "What's wrong with your eye?" Should I give them gory details as they sit down to eat? Everyone waits, silent. Someone asked you a question, this from the cashier. I'd like to pay for my lunch. Finally, the cashier accepts my money, and I take a seat at an empty table. A woman approaches, tells me these seats are reserved. The tables, seat 14, most are still empty. I'll find a seat somewhere. I wonder, after work, will they drag me down a dark alley, beat the living daylights out of me? Anyway, I'm not a quitter, and I plan to feed myself somehow. Thank you.
Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you, Joan. And thank you, Lucille and Nancy. What a fine job you did tonight. This is called Simple Summer Scene. King Kong, what's he doing climbing the Cathedral of Learning? He is tearing off the vines, the green vest so carefully cultivated by this building. His paws leave giant smudge prints on the window outside the Japanese room, a favorite of mine. His big fat foot rests on a gray concrete outcropping. And who is that in his hand? Is she one of the recently appointed deans? No, she is a co-ed from California. She has been to all its studios, but is not amused by the sorry Simeon selected role she now plays. His hairy palm holds her gently. Perhaps King Kong cares for her. It is steamy hot, and Brillo balls of hair fall from his back and chest. Mercifully, the fire trucks, preceded by the usual cacophony, have arrived. Will hard-headed men climb the long ladder to rescue the damsel? Or will they turn on their powerful hoses to dislodge the big monkey from his climbing wall? Thank you.
Angela Gaetti. Oh, there you go. How do you say your last name?
Angela Gaetti.
Thank you.
answered a dating website question, does size matter? Size lies in what you make it, how you handle, how you take it. I'm not quite sure this whole allure and the length of a legal catch, but my heart knows the pull and bow of lines angling for a match and pines for the simple, honest brook where the joy is in the friendship and not about the hook.
Unrequited. My sylvan princess, ancient legend of the forest, I dreamt of the time and the place where you would render a dream inadequate. In the deep woods, I walk along a stream, its source unnamed. This waterfall, an impasse, the river it runs to, out of sight. Thank you.
Just two quick sections of a series of prose poems that all double as entire one-sentence short stories. Nolan had never once dropped them, the tongs, which he held now with indifferent precision, and his skill had grown so that he could flick individual chickpeas onto his salad plate, even when it was three stations over next to the shredded carrots. But on this particular day, he had been distracted by the passing of Loretta Schofield, and when she passed, the tongs fell bent end into the cottage cheese, and Nolan laid his head on the sneeze guard, repeating shit, 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 until he was asked to leave the restaurant. Just as short, this one. Tom was the principal actor in a two-man stage play about the life of President Taft, and had started rehearsal with the excitement and verve of a man performing cutting-edge theater, but had grown disillusioned after several weeks of excruciating awkwardness between himself and the other actor, who was also the director, the one playing Taft's bathtub, who could not control his constant erections, and grew far more worried still when he saw no advertisements for the performance, nor could find the Jumbo Theater, the so-called Lyceum of Wheeling, West Virginia, and resolved to never again respond to a Craigslist call for actors. But he would see this thing through, goddammit, because his resume was still weak. Thank you.
Where I come from paper and from paper clips, whiteout and magic markers, rollerball pens, ink that smells like lovemaking, from stationery in the desk drawer, pastel blue, rose yellow, the reams of typewriter white. It's all like pudding, sweet and seductive. I come from the forest, from saplings and mature trees, cut and shipped to the city and manufactured from the paper mill. I come, too, from Eaton Park and large breasts, from Eleanor and Leo, Dims and Davises, from alcoholics and graduates, from go to your room and shut up, from Catholics and Jews, Unitarian Universalists, and from cocktails at brunch. I come from do unto others as they would do unto you, McGee Women's Hospital in Pittsburgh 1 month early, and from stinky cheese and pierogies. Where I come from is paper and ash, from cigarettes that killed both parents, from the deer that cracked my father's ribs, the car, the constant smoke stream, my mother who would never turn the other cheek, from the diaphragm that failed, kept in the nightstand all those years, cracked and dry. I come from the childhood piano, from Twinkle Twinkle, from its cracked soundboard, the day it was chopped, wood pieces that turned into paper. I come from recycling.
I do have a sister who's a doctor, so lean on her occasionally. This poem is a result of the fact that I was reading a book of memoir by an Irish writer named Michael Stevens. I am, by the way, Irish. And then I picked up the Provincetown something other la-di-da paper about la-di-da writers. And here was another Irishman, a poet, reading his memoirs. And this is what came out of it. It's called, "I like most women poets I read, but we need a few good men on stage, please." To be read, Alla Allen Ginsberg. "I'm so tired of hearing poetry, reading essays by old boys, some of whom are young boys, mostly Irish boys, extolling the delights of friendship in a bar, drinking whiskey, bourbon, rye until 5 in the morning. Pardon the pun. I'm so tired of reliving knockouts and first jabs and uppercuts. And when I hit them in the... I'm so tired of poetry judges who are old boys giving prizes to young old boys. Surely the content is a tip-off. I'm so tired of reading," all these names have been deleted and others added, "O'Reilly's essays or Sean's or Liam's about family, that is, their gangster uncles and the wharfman daddies, never mentioning sisters, mothers, or aunts unless they were crazy. I'm still waiting for them to get off stage, let some new men on, men like Sam Hazo, Rick St. John, Terrence Hayes, Jim Svetek, all unique, yet they speak about God in their poetry, write with adulation about all of us, even women."
Thank you very much. My language is polyglot. A lipstick lesbian am I, very appealing to the eye, for which you do not want to say goodbye as you look upon the sky. What is to be done in search of my truth, that I cannot be aloof, for this is not no spoof, much more serious than losing a tooth. Should I expatiate to date, or should silence be my fate? Although I search far and wide, there is no mate on the incoming tide. My peers want silence of me, but that is not what I can be. For you can see, hoping to catch the eye, for another lipstick lesbian to try. My breasts ache for her caress of a femme who has finesse, who fears the warmth of my heart and wants me from the start. Should I put a challenge to my affection so she would not have more reflection upon what my heart truly desires? For this is what she could truly desire, is measuring my desire for a lipstick marriage too much for another femme to consider a baby carriage, or is not too late to facilitate of what being a future wife may equate? Are my hopes and dreams too high that every other femme says goodbye? Or can my heart truly express the feeling what she could ever find appealing?
Thank you, Laura. Ronan Farwolf Alexander, where at?
Thanks. How is everyone this evening? Good. I wrote this particular poem today around 3 o'clock when I got out of class, so this is the first time I'm actually expressing this through words. It's entitled, God Lies Within You. God is the ultimate creator of all things that exist within the universe. Thus, God created every living organism that exists upon the planet Earth. Every woman and man since their birth have been blessed beyond their measure. Thus, every day that we're alive is another God-given treasure. The soul of God's spirit exists forever from now into the depths of infinity. Have faith in the power of God and embrace the power of spiritual divinity. Thus, God is an eternal entity that has no form, for the soul of God has been inside your spirit ever since you were born. Ever since you have worn flesh on your physical body, the power of God has always been there. That's why you have to maintain belief in yourself and have faith in the power of God without fear. Manifest wisdom in prayer and allow the power of your faith to spiritually guide you. Know that you don't have to physically die in order to see God because God already exists inside you. You have to decide to psychologically keep your mind moving in the right direction. And know that if you want to see God, then you have to see it in your own reflection. Internally focus your perception and discover the power of God's grace. When you look inside of the mirror at yourself, see God within your face. When you look inside of the mirror, see God within your eyes. When you look into the stars at night, see the power of God within the skies. You have to realize that God is inside of your spiritual essence. And you also have to realize that the power of God is forever omnipresent. You have to realize that God exists within the earth, your soul, the water, and the air. Thus, the power of God exists everywhere. God exists inside of you, and God exists inside of me. God exists within the body of every insect. God exists within the trees. God exists within the darkness, and God also exists within the light. God exists within your soul. That's why we have to appreciate our life. God exists within pain, and God also exists within pleasure. God exists within your trials and tribulations. That's why our struggles are a treasure. God exists within death, and God also lives within serenity. God will speak to you spiritually through your family members, and God will also speak to you through your enemies. God will speak to you in many ways, but you have to truly listen, because God speaks to you on a spiritual plane because God wants you to make the right decisions. God is manifested in every woman, and God is manifested in every man. God exists throughout the universe, thus God is manifested throughout the land. You have to understand that the name God is just a concept that human beings created through religion and philosophy. But the true power of God is an energy force that is beyond any concept of theology. The power of God lies within you, spiritually and biologically. That's why you must not be imprisoned by any form of man-made ideology. Find God within your spirit and free yourself psychologically, and understand how powerful the magnitude of your own personal thoughts can be. Consciously elevate your spirit through spiritual insight and self-actualization. Thus, God wants you to find heaven within your own soul and allow that to lead you to salvation. Thus, God is the origin of all creation. That's why you must appreciate the life that was produced. Find the power of God within your spirit and know that you're a manifestation of heaven, and that is the truth. Thus, there is no excuse as to why you should be brainwashed or imprisoned by the interpretations of somebody else. Thus, you must liberate the power of your own mind and find God within yourself. Thank you.
This is called Rare Coins. I fumble with quarters for the parking meter. We walk a short distance and ring a bell. A guard unlocks the door. He watches over a wealth of rare coins once spent as pocket change. A 1932 Washington quarter went unnoticed, as every day appeared and disappeared, meals eaten, clothes bought, dishes washed. My grandson leans on the counter. He inquires about the value of a 1934 silver dollar. The child, inside and outside, takes the coin and makes it unique. He rubs his thumb over the surface to satisfy his curiosity, to assess his worth, to assess its worth. If he gazes hard and long enough at the coin, will he see a constellation, vastness, light years? My granddaughter and I stand and wait. I rest my chin on her head and ask if she would be my chin rest. She answers, I would rather be a sofa, and describes the fabric she would pick. She imagines a tapestry of stars. Stars have come and gone. Generations have come and gone. I buy a rare coin for my grandson. We walk outside. I look at the time remaining on the parking meter as every day appears and disappears. I delight at the nebulae in the northern sky. The child inside and outside gazes. I would like to sit with my grandchildren on the wrinkled fabric of Cassiopeia's chair, mythologize about how I spend my time with them, and inadvertently listen to Cassiopeia boast about her beauty. Thank you.
Called For Their Own Children. Scenes, man. Throngs of people packed into squares, demanding justice for the frivolousness of their leaders, clashing firsthand with the guardians of rule, sacrificing now so that tolerance does not lead to subjection. And scenes, man. Throngs of people packed into cubes, irritated for not being granted a holiday, sacrificing witness to the childhood of their children for those 48 hours in Orlando. And that's what those kids will want for their own children. Thank you.
Poets, you guys are a lot of fun. I really like all of you. And I just want to read you something from D.A. Levy, and it's very short. This is just so I'm getting prepped for next week, actually. I don't want to bleed in public, you see. It's something like this. Everything I write, every time I write a poem, I'm afraid. When I'm dead, it will sell, and some other poet will starve because no one will buy his poems. And I'm afraid that someday people will all read poetry and try not to live it, sort of like Christianity or Buddhism or any religion. Thank all of you, and I enjoyed all of you tonight. Bye-bye.